Welcome to the Underrepresented in Tech podcast, where we talk about issues in underrepresentation and have difficult conversations. Underrepresented in Tech is a free database with the goal of helping people find new opportunities in WordPress and tech. Hello, Samar.
Hello, Michelle. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It was really amazing WordCamp Europe like three
Yes.
weeks ago. And I finally saw you. That was really in live version. That was really nice.
I have my mug for you. I discovered something. We'll introduce our guest in a moment. Hold on, Christina. We're coming back to you. But I discovered. So I pulled one of the, Samar brought me beer, some wonderful Belgian beer. And I pulled one out. I was going to have it towards the end of the day the other day. And they don't screw. They're not screw tops like they are in the United States. I couldn't like screw it off. So I have to find my bottle opener and bring it into my office where my little mini fridge is so that I can pop it open at the end of the day. So that's my goal today, is to find that bottle opener. I have a live stream podcast at 5 o'clock and I plan to drink on the podcast. So that is my goal for today. But yes, and we will talk a little bit about WordCamp Europe, I'm sure, throughout some of this. Unfortunately, our guest wasn't there, but
no.
Maybe in the future, maybe WordCamp US, I don't know. I don't know what's in the cards for you. But our guest today is Christina Louise Treadwell. And Christina is the owner and founder of WebPro Geeks. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So one of the things that like, so I mean, it's a little reconnaissance, you know, looking around, and I actually know a few people that work for you. They introduced us, but you are a Black woman owned business, which I love.
Yeah.
And you employ two of my Black women friends, which I love. and you told us right before the show that you also have hired through our website. So can you tell us a little bit? First of all, tell us a little about yourself. And what you do, what is WebPro Geeks? And, you know, and I know that you're nomadic this summer. So talk a little bit about what you're doing yourself.
Yes.
And then I want to dive into how you used our website, how you are, you know, running your business and how you are able to use underrepresented in tech. But let's start with first things. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, like you said, I'm Christina Louise Treadwell. I am a WordPress developer. I've been breaking and building websites for, I was trying to do the math. I think it's like 30 years at this point. So I started in like 94. By 95, I was taught myself HTML. Never, ever got tired of the internet. Like just love all things coding and all of that.
Yeah.
By the time I finished grad school, master's in library science, I decided this is definitely what I wanted to do full time. So I've been professionally building sites for 20 years and I haven't had any side quests in 15 years. So it's just been 100% strict web development only. But yeah, so that's me personally. WebPro Geeks, we do fractional CWO services. So if you're a small to medium sized business and you don't want to keep a CWO on staff full time, my team will come in. We'll take care of your client facing website. We'll act as the communication bridge between the IT team and the marketing team because they usually don't get along very well. And that's our job, is to make sure the IT team security teams are being met, the marketing team's content needs are being met, and we make sure that everybody plays along nicely with each other. So then we also do SEO services as SEO Pro Geeks, digital ads as Ad Pro Geeks, and WordPress accessibility remediation as Ally Pro Geeks. And that's a huge part of what we do right now is remediating sites, keeping people compliant and where they should be on the right path. So yeah, we're very, very busy geeks over there. And I have Ali and Naisha, two of your favorite people in the world on my team.
That's right.
Yeah. Ali's like my product manager and Naisha is my lead developer. So we're
they
very,
both
very
slept awesome. On that couch, by the way. They both slept on that couch
really?
In the last 3 years, yes. We gotta get
I
some out over here too.
Naisha in person. Yeah. Yeah.
Soon.
Ali and I met speaking at WordCamp Miami back in 2017, which feels so long ago. I actually met you at WordCamp 2020.
That was the last one, yeah.
Yeah. And I haven't met Naisha in person yet, but hopefully soon I will be meeting her.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. And you are road tripping this summer, you said, right? So you're just kind of like Living life on the road. I love it. At least you're so conditioned, right? Now, right?
We're in North Carolina right now. We were in Michigan before. I'm based in Miami, but Miami in the summer is like, not a very fun place to be. So
no. I've been seeing these TikToks. So Samaa and I are both on TikTok and we send each other TikToks. And I've been seeing all these TikToks about how people in the UK keep saying how, like, in England, the heat waves are much worse than what we experience in the US. And somebody responded, it's 75 degrees there. That's what we set our air conditioning to lower to. So your heat wave is our, oh, thank God, it's finally cool.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a whole different. When you walk outside of Miami in the summer, you can taste the water in the air. It's that humid. Wow. So it's great for my curls, but
I bet.
Not so great for my sanity.
I'll be back
in the fall once it chills down.
So did you learn about underrepresented in tech through Allie or someplace else? Because we want to know the story.
No, through Allie. Yeah. So she had told me about the idea in passing as you guys were, you know, going through it. It was just one of those, like, I'm going to chit chat about this with my friend type of things. Yeah. And then I formally heard about it at a Black Press meeting during COVID, obviously. We were on, it was a Zoom meetup. And she went through and walked everybody through the whole thing, explained exactly how it worked. And I'm just sitting there thinking, I am the busiest person in the world and I always need more people. But it feels so daunting and difficult to go find people. Mm-hmm. And you're just browsing through LinkedIn and you're asking for referrals. And I'm like, you know what? There's this whole site of people who are like, I'm ready. I want to work right now. And here's exactly what I do. And here's exactly how to meet me. And I just logged on and started grabbing people. So for a couple of freelance projects, I worked with a couple people, but now I have a guy from Kenya named Emmanuel. I call him Manuel, but Emmanuel. And he's been with me for the better part of a year, I think. I need to look and see exactly how long, but have him on retainer. He's my go-to guy for Elementor. I hate Elementor. He loves Elementor. My
good thing they're not
Elementor.
A sponsor.
Well, I don't like using it, but I don't like builders. I'm a developer, so we're always anti-builders. But
it's okay. He's don't have sponsors.
But he's a wizard with it.
We say
he does it all.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm so glad. Yeah. Do you know? And he's from the African continent. Did you say?
Yeah, he's from Kenya. Yeah, so awesome. He lives right outside of Nairobi. It's actually been kind of cool that because of the time difference, my day is ending and wrapping up as his day is kind of beginning. So it's like 4 or 5 PM. I've had this whole day of stuff with clients, all these like changes and needs and stuff. I'll task everything out and, you know, have a quick conversation with him and then he starts. And then by the time I wake up, he's wrapping up his day and everything's done. And I'm like, okay, that was great.
That is so funny.
So it's
funny.
Been fun. Yeah. Having an international team definitely has its perks. I've realized that the time difference is it's an asset, not at all a deterrent. So
yeah,
it's been very
cool. You know, if there's a silver lining to the pandemic, and I don't say that lightly because it was and has continued to be a very challenging time, but it did manage to make the world feel a little bit smaller and make it feel like we're more connected to each other. So I guess if you have to go through something as horrible as it was to be able to find some modicum of goodness out of it, I think it turned out to be a good thing. And I think that being able to connect with people, I mean, this project was born through that, right? Underrepresented in tech. Right. Because Allie and I kept getting asked, do you know anybody who could speak at this event who's Black? Do you know anybody who can speak at this event who's whatever, you know? And we're like, we are not the gatekeepers of the Black people in WordPress, folks.
But you guys do know all of them. Well, now at least they're
Well, after we had created Underrepresented in Tech, Nigel Rogers came to us and asked if we would do, like, explain to his meetup. And I wish I could remember where he is on the African continent. I just am struggling right now to remember. Sorry, Nigel, if you're listening. But and Allie couldn't meet with us that night. And so I got online and I'm talking to his group. And it was, there wasn't a woman in the group. It was all Black men. And they said to me, why do we need you? You're the minority here. But at the global WordPress community, I'm not. And they're like, oh yeah, that's true. So it is all relative. And I was like, oh, that I just got a little bit of a wake up call from this whole group of people. But it is true. And it is harder for women. It's harder for people of color. It's harder for disabled people, LGBTQ, like underrepresented, like all the different underrepresented groups. It becomes more difficult for whatever underrepresented group you're in. And if you tick multiple boxes, it's like that much more exponentially more difficult, right? To forge a path and to find recognition and just, I don't know, even sometimes just empathy, right? Like some of those things. So I'm just like super excited that like you're as successful as you are, that you're hiring people and that you're using our project to do it. Fantastic. Yeah. Samah, what do you think?
I'm dying to ask you a question from the beginning. It's just like, I would love to know what the unique challenges that face you as a Black female business owner, especially in tech industry, and how do you think like you can share experience with the people that how we can make things better and to promote and support underrepresented people to start their own business and grow? Because being the first one or being from the minority to do it, it's put a lot of pressure. I would love to hear your experience and your thoughts about it.
I can definitely say that I did want to go into business for myself because of some of that difficulty I saw. I did kind of cut and run as soon as I kind of realized that there was going to be, you know, a little bit of pushback. Like I don't like selling myself to people. I much prefer to, it's like, I don't want to sit at your table. I'll just go make my own table. And if you fit over here, then you can come sit with me. But I'm just not that type of a joiner. So for me, it was like watching all of my friends in tech go through like this intense interview processes and dealing with all these like corporate bureaucracy and red tape and just nonsense. It was just like, I'm not built for that at all. I'm just going to go do my own thing. I'm going to work with the people who want to work with me. I'm going to let the trash take itself out, and I'm not going to deal with any of that. So early on, I was kind of playing little games to try and get around the whole, like letting people know like, oh, she's plus size, she's Black, she's a woman, and trying to hide it. So I wouldn't be on camera a lot. Like I'm rarely on camera. And because my middle name is Louise, I would tell people, oh yeah, this is Lou Treadwell. And maybe I wouldn't get on the phone. I'd only talk with them by email. And I saw how differently potential clients would treat me if they thought they were talking to Lou or if they thought they were talking to Louise. And once the contract was signed, it's like, haha, gotcha. Here I am. This is who I actually am.
Little bait and switch.
Right. And it was like, okay, but now you guys realize, like, I really do know what I'm doing. But then I ended up having a client base that didn't actually respect me for who I was. Mm-hmm. And the worst experience was I had a guy actually try to explain to me how to install WordPress. Mind you, I'm a WordPress developer. I've been doing this for years at this point. Like I was coding before WordPress existed. Like I remember when PHP launched, like I was really excited when CSS became a thing. Like I'm that old. So for him to explain in
mansplain,
detail,
I think you mean mansplain.
Like, yes, mansplain. In graphic detail how to install WordPress was the most shocking thing ever. And I'm like, you know what? I said, if you're confused about the process, I'd be happy to, you know, help break it down. Did you have any specific questions?
Good for you. Seem like,
yeah.
I wish I could say I was being clever, but I genuinely was like, are you okay? Like, what's wrong?
What's going on?
But so after stuff like that, I'm like, you know what? Let me not hide. I'm not going to like try and, you know, sneak my way into particular rooms. I'm just going to be loud. If I'm meeting with a client, I'm not selling my services to them. It's a mutual conversation to see if we're a good fit. If we're a good fit, great. I'm happy to work with you. So right now I have a client base that I can honestly say I adore. When my phone rings, I'm happy to hear from them. If I see an email, it's like when you're, all freelancers know this, when you're working with the wrong people, you have that sense of dread with certain people who call you. I never have that now. Every time they'll call, I'm so sorry to bother you. I'm like, no, am happy to hear from you. How can I help you today? I want to fix all your problems. So that's been, it's, I guess it was kind of a blessing, because I wonder if other groups of people don't have that luxury of having their clients be very forward and very upfront that they do not like you. So now that I know who doesn't like me, I know who to avoid, and I can spend all my time and energy making lots of money with people who really appreciate me and want to be there. So.
That's great. That's really awesome. Because at the end, it's so amazing how you find your way, and it's really impressive. At the end, it's like, yeah, if you want to work with you, this is who you are. Just more than welcome. If not, we say in Dutch, "Do we?" Like goodbye. Then yeah.
Peace out.
Exactly. I had freelance days, and I remember just wishing I like taking almost any client at the beginning because I just needed money.
Yes.
And then you realize that the clients who, like I say, the clients who use the words just and only are not the clients for you, right?
Thank you. Yeah.
It's just three pages. First of all, it's never just three pages. It's never only anything. Like, trust the process. There's a process here. And I will tell you, your just and only are going to cost me time and money. Move along. Go get your cousin to make you a Wix site, because this is not the place.
I definitely refer a lot of people to Wix and Squarespace. But to be fair, it's not, you know, it's not always a complete shove off. Sometimes it is. You know what? The best client is the one who really knows what they want. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't suffered through Wix or Squarespace, you don't really know what you want yet. So go do that.
Come that back is quotable.
To me with like a solid, come back with a solid list of complaints and concerns and features that you're missing. And now we can build you something custom that you'll love. But until then, I need you guys to be a little bit more focused. So I like fixing broken websites, because those clients usually come in with a much greater appreciation for what we do. Cause that, like you said, the just only and a real quick.
Oh yeah. Real quick. Thing. My favorite though is how hard could it be?
Right.
Right.
Like, I don't know. You do it and then tell me.
Yeah. Oh, you're a house painter. How hard can that be? I'll build your website. You paint my house. Let's see. You know what I mean? Just like, it's crazy.
No, absolutely not. But yeah, what's the saying? Good, fast, cheap, pick two.
Yes.
So I'm fast and good, so I'm not cheap. And I'm perfectly happy in that space. But
I love that. That's awesome. Yeah, Samar, you had more questions? I don't want to keep talking over
definitely.
You.
I just want to tell you something. This is my first time meeting you, and I'm really happy. So I have something. I was Googling you. I was reading about you.
Oh, no.
So I'm just like creeping a little bit. And I know that you mentioned you have three male boys and you're spending time, and now I can see that you're traveling. Yeah. I just want to, you know, it's sometimes very difficult for women to have it all, the family, the kids, the success, the business, the life and everything. And sometimes I know it's okay not to have it all, but I think you have it all. You're a very successful woman, and you're raising your kids, you're spending time and you're doing amazing to help others. So I want to know, how did you do it? And how did it also affect your how did you manage the priorities? I would love to know. So
the short answer, I have a husband. I have a partner. I have a partner who completely and fully supports what I do, which I think that's what makes it hard for women to have it all, is when they don't have somebody supportive in their corner, whether it's their partner, whether it's their parents, their friends, some sort of community that can be there to help, you know, pick up everything else. Because I don't know how, like right now, I wouldn't be able to talk to you guys if my kids were in the back. Like, yeah, I'm out in my truck doing an interview, but my husband's inside the house with the kids. They're doing breakfast, wrangling, all the things. I don't even know what's going on in there, but he's got them covered so I can do what I have to do. And that way I don't have to actually juggle. So having the community support is a huge piece. When COVID started, I would say I was a baby agency. So it's like that between freelance and agency, but I didn't have a whole bunch of people on my team yet. And my husband was working as a photographer and a promoter. Like, he had his whole, you know, out of the house business. I had my in the house business. Well, COVID destroyed his business completely. Mm. So it was very much of a, okay, you know what? Handing off the baton, you go. I've got this, you've got that. And we weren't splitting the family stuff anymore. So he's like full-time stay-at-home dad. He's the one who has to, when the school calls, you know, 8 times a day because the kids have whatever going on, he's up there. He's exec board of the PTA. He's on the, all those things, like going on the field trips and all the stuff that I genuinely was like mortified to do. And it was like a stress on me. Yeah. He's, you know, daddy of the century. So I get now how so many like male CEOs can just like do the thing because they have these amazing women in their corner. They have a partner who's like handling all the stuff. And now I have that and I can focus all of my time and energy if I need to. If I need to hyper-focus one day, I can do that because I know my kids are covered. And the have it all part is a little bit, I don't think I can say I have it all because I don't know what size shoes my kids wear right now. Like if I had to go buy them clothes, I would not know what size anybody wears. I don't know exactly how my kids like their tacos made because I have been the one making their tacos for the past year. So little things like that, that you are going to like fall behind on, but we still have our relationship with the kids. Like I still hang out with them. We still have fun because, you know, nature of a digital business, you can do it anywhere, but it's something that I just think it's unfair to expect women to really truly be able to do everything without having somebody to help them because everybody needs somebody to help. Otherwise it's like trying to brush your teeth while eating Oreos. You're just, it's this never ending chaos. Or was the other one, somebody said turning on a fan and trying to like file paperwork.
I love the metaphor. I love it.
It's like the toothpaste and Oreo thing has got me over here like, I get it.
It is. But yeah, with my three kids, it's a lot. And all three of them have, you know, various disabilities. So that adds a different layer to it. Which being self-employed really helps with that, that we can actually have that flexibility. So even if I do have to be in the car with one kid and he's at a doctor's appointment with the other one, it's still infinitely better than if I was trying to squeeze my business in between his life and his career. And it's nice to have somebody prioritize your dreams and just say, okay, yeah, what you're doing is super important and it's doing great things for our family. And he's like, Allie can tell you, it's like when her and I are meeting, he's like in the background usually, like, you know, kind of chiming in and taking her side always. But he's got great insights because, you know, we've run businesses together in the past. That's how we met. But, you know, it's just great having somebody who's like your actual cheerleader, who actually wants you to win and is like pushing you like, no, you're the smartest person I know. Like you're great at this. You've got this. And screw those people who don't understand you. Like, it's cool. And then my mom and my dad are like that too. They're my cheerleaders as well. So it's,
I love that.
That's what it is. A woman who has it all has to have people behind her who actually want her to have it all. So I can't go get it if people are in my way. And absolutely, no one's in my way. But yeah, I hope I answered your question kind of in a roundabout way. But
actually, you answered in a really perfect way, because I believe women, they 20 years ago, they always tell us you can have it all, but sometimes you have to step back, or you need this really amazing support, your community, as you said, your partner or your family, and otherwise you'll never be able to shine, because we're emotional creatures. We feel, I don't know, if you feel guilty leaving your kids and you're thinking about it, but when you have a partner, you really can count on that he will do the things and give you your time and support you to shine. And as you said, he was telling you, go, you can do it. That is something really important. I'm really impressive about your business, and I was reading about your life. So Shem knows me. I'm that creep that I was looking. Okay,
She's a researcher. She really is.
Well, now I want to know what else you learned about me. I don't know what other information's out there.
No, because you talk about
anything good.
Everything is perfect. Like I'm just like, I want to be you know. I was checking what the first live that you spoke in 2022. So no, I am a researcher. That's a nicer way than to say I creep on people online. I'm a researcher.
No, it's okay. Like I said, I've got my degree in library science. I am the FBI when it comes to tracking people down. Oh, and I like doing genealogy. So that's
Nice.
tracking the living and the dead.
I'm coming to both of you with my future needs. That's all I have to say.
Hey, I am here for you. As long as your needs are legal, I'm your girl.
Always legal. We won't talk about
Always.
the other stuff. That's
Christina will
awesome.
cover the states. I will cover Europe. You know, like
There you
we
go.
can share the territories.
Now I got my group. I got my girl gang.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'm super excited about all the work you're doing. I'm really excited that Allie introduced us and that you consented to be on camera. I know that's not something you enjoy, but
No.
but you have a lot of things to say and a lot of examples, and just the life you're living is a good example to others that it is possible. And it's funny because it's funny because Sama asked, like, how do you manage to do it all? It's like, that is the quintessential question that women get asked all the time, right? And
It is.
when a man asks us, it feels so invasive. Like, what do you mean? But when women ask each other, it's like, we just really want to know the secret.
Right. It's like I actually want to know. No, and it's a fair question because it does, like you're saying, you have to sacrifice some things and you decide what you're going to sacrifice, but knowing that things are taken care of is such a huge help. Like, what's the
Absolutely.
there's a phrase called weaponized incompetence. Is that what it
Yes.
is? Yeah. So I've seen a lot of women lose their careers over that with their partners. Like they have a partner and the partner acts like they can't do anything. So she ends up having to just take more and more and more of her energy, her time, the mental energy away from what she's trying to do for herself and further her career, her business, and pour it back into somebody who's just not even trying. Like it's not a it I feel like the weaponized incompetence is not a like it's not like, oh, your partner has ADHD. It's like, no, your partner's a jerk. And when that happens, you can't move forward at all because you're spending all your time trying to fix other people's problems that aren't even really problems. And it just sucks away at your soul. And I've seen so many people have to like dive back into a life they didn't want. And I think being a stay-at-home parent is like a very noble and important thing, but it should be something that you want to do. And to see people who don't want to do that get pulled into it, it's so unfair. I hate to see it, but it happens all the time. All the time.
I was a single mom raising my daughter, trying and working in a college, getting my MBA all at the same time. And at that
Wow.
point, we moved back here. It's my condo, but this used to be my parents, and the room that's my office was my daughter's and my bedroom. So like literally, she used to sleep where I'm sitting. And so
Wow.
it was one of those things where I loved being a mom, but I have never admitted this out loud, so the internet can now hate me for saying this, but I hated reading to my daughter. I absolutely detested sitting down with a book and reading to my daughter. I don't know why I hated it so much. It was not something I enjoyed. It just didn't. I loved all everything else was great. Let's go for a walk. Let's watch a movie. Let's play a game. Her favorite thing was to sit, like, let's have a laugh fest. And we would just literally lay in her bed. And she'd start giggling for no reason. And then I'd be giggling. And then we were laughing in earnest, right? But
Love that.
reading to her just made me want to pull my fingernails off. So I had other people in my life that loved reading with her. And even though I still feel a little guilty that I didn't read with her, it wasn't that she didn't get read to or read with,
Right.
right?
Yeah.
So like you have to learn to let some of that go because I couldn't be a single mom, make a better life for us and do all of the little things too. And so, that whole it takes a village kind of thing, it's
Yeah.
not wrong, right? Like it's not
No.
wrong at all, especially when you do need a little bit of help or you,
Right.
and everybody does, especially when there's kids involved. You just can't do it all alone.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
that's why I hate when people call themselves self-made. I'm like, are you though? Was it really just 100% you? Like, were you like with me? Like, I always look at my dad and like how I grew up and that I didn't have to worry about paying for college. That's called being born on third base. That's a huge step, like being able to take financial risks or being able to do certain things and knowing that I had family who were like, yeah, if you screw everything up and everything falls away, you can come live in our basement. Like you, your husband, your three kids, we got you. When you have that type of like backing, it makes you braver. You do all kinds of crazy things. Like you're like, you know what? I'm just going to throw this away and I'm just going to go jump over and do this and try this really risky thing. I'm going to pick up my whole family, move from Michigan to Miami. Like when my husband and I first moved to Miami, we didn't even have anywhere to live. Like we were living in hotels for a month, which we were living in hotels for a month. We weren't homeless. So it's just knowing that, you were alone, but you weren't really alone. You had all these people behind you. You had all the support behind you. And when you have that, you can get away with doing a lot. And I think if we acknowledge that for ourselves, then we can show that support to other people and not expect to say, oh, well, if I did it, you can. No, you need help. And here's how I'm going to help. So yes, I'm going to bring you on to work with me on this project. Yes, I'm going to like introduce you to this person. I'm going to do this, do this, do this, and not always thinking about charging people and how it's going to help you. You just reaching out into the world and just doing stuff for people because everybody needs it so badly. And that's all we can do. It well, also, not all we can do. It's one thing we can do.
It's definitely a big thing we can do. It also reminds me of the fact that, like, I love when people say, oh, they're an overnight success. There's no such thing as overnight success. And I can tell that you have worked hard to be where you are. And so I want to ask you, what is what to you is the definition of success for you and your business and your life?
A big one, what I said earlier about every time my phone rings that I'm not stressed out at all, that I'm happy to answer it. That to me tells me that I did a really good job of like selecting my clients, marketing myself correctly so that I'm not attracting the wrong clients. That's the happiness part to me of business. It's like, yes, turning a profit. Obviously, you want to make sure that you're doing that, that your staff doesn't hate you or resent you. So the same way I'm happy when my clients call me, I want my staff to be happy when I reach out to them and that they're, you know, eager and that they can actually criticize me. I don't think you're a successful business if your staff can't come to you and say, hey, here's something you did last week. Didn't sit well with me, even if they don't have a solution, you know, just to say, hey, look, this isn't cool. And then I can say, okay, great. You actually are honest with me now. We can go forward and fix it. So the relationship part, like all of that will lead towards you not being stressful and just being, you know, I wake up every day and choose happiness. So I choose to be happy. I choose to not be mad at people. And that can't happen unless you've made some good choices on the back end to kind of roll all that together. Yeah. So yeah, personal responsibility. Maybe that's the success then, that you're actually personally able to control your own happiness. I like that answer. I'll go with that.
I like that answer too. I had no idea what you're going to come up with, but I think that's
I wasn't perfect. Either. I was just going to start talking and get there, kind of like a Michael Scott train of thought, but we got there in the end.
I love that. Also, I think if I can put some words in your mouth from my own perspective. Being able to contribute to other people's success and happiness by being able to employ others, to me, is a huge success, at least from the outside looking in. So kudos to you for that as well, because that is absolutely a sign of success, not only to build for yourself, but to continue to build for others too. So congratulations on everything you've accomplished. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. When you see people post on LinkedIn that they're like happy that they're on your team, it's like,
yeah, exactly.
They like me, but you know, it's business, but it's personal. It's always personal when it's your
absolutely
business,
because so. It's relational.
Yeah.
Business is business, but it's built on relationships, and relationships are built between people. So, absolutely.
Yep. Amen to that. But
any last piece of advice, or I don't know, pearl of wisdom you'd like to drop before we sign off our episode for today? And pressure.
I still want to know what you guys found on Google about me. Like, besides you said just speaking at WordCamps, but I don't know. I'm trying to think of any other little nuggets of wisdom. I mean, I guess I said that's one thing. I've had people tell me a lot that like I am a positive person. And I think a huge part of that, I told my mom one time, I stopped having haters when I stopped hating on people. Mm-hmm. So I don't spend a lot of time and energy worrying about what other people are doing or why they're doing it or criticizing them, because then it felt like it kind of opened me to that same nonsense. And now I'm in a space where I feel like I could hop on LinkedIn and say something, and I'm not worried about who's going to say something in the comments, because I haven't put that energy out in years. Like, I am so grown now that I haven't been arguing with people and starting petty things and whatever. So it's a cool place to be in, that, you know, you put out what you want to give back. And so far it's been working. We'll see. Ask me again in 10 years. Okay. We'll see if it's still working.
We'll have you back when I'll be 65, but I'll still be here. It's all good.
We'll put this in our calendar.
But yeah, no, it was great meeting you both and getting to chat.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks
absolutely.
For joining. Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful stuff. I my head's going in 5 million different directions. So I'm sure we'll be talking again, because there's more ideas and things spinning out there. But thank you for being here with us today. I really appreciate it. And Samav, your afternoon. Thank you. not the morning.
Not the morning.
Enjoy the end of your day.
Yeah. No, it was a pleasure having you. And it's, I cannot wait for the future to meet you, hopefully, personally, or another time to talk with you. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And same. I continue my research, because, like, you know, I want to know more.
I love it.
Well, you let me know what you figure out, and we'll share notes. I'll tell you what's not true. But no, I'm definitely looking forward to meeting you guys. I want to get out to WordCamp Europe and hopefully WordCamp US at some point. It's just, the world is so different now with all the online camps. Yeah. So it's time to get back out there.
Yeah. Very good. Well, we always say at the end of every episode, we have no idea what we're going to talk about next week, but we actually do know what we're going to talk about next week. And I'm going to say it out loud so that we actually have it back. But Jewel, let me open it up. Jewel, Shah Jahan Jewel, who's a WordPress enthusiast, has written an open letter to WordCamp Europe organizers, because WordCamp Europe next year falls again on Eid al-Adha. And please correct me, Samah, if I'm saying that wrong.
It's Eid al-Adha, but it's okay.
Thank you. My very American pronunciation of things, which is one of the two most holy days in the Muslim religion. And so has written a letter asking, you know, can we please not do this, continue to do this? Because apparently, I guess it's not the first time that that's happened. So we're going to talk about next week. We're going to delve in. We are the podcast that doesn't pull any punches and doesn't say no to any topics. We're going to talk about religion next week. And so I imagine we'll make some enemies, but I mean, hey, it's all good, because what we try to do is make the WordPress world a little bit of a better place for people, the tech world, a little better place for people who are underrepresented. And let's just agree that that is not a small religion, and that is not a small group of people. So yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about that next week. But so we hope, if you're listening, I know that you'll come back. If you have ideas, feel free to send them to us, because we want to hear more voices on this and have a better discussion about the situation. So again, thank you, Christina, for being here. Sama, I will see you next week, and everybody else will see you on the next episode. Yep. Of Underrepresented in Tech. Bye.
Bye, Christina. Bye, Michelle. Bye. Bye. See you next week. Bye.
If you're interested in using our database, joining us as a guest for an episode, or just want to say hi, go to underrepresentedintech.com. See you next week.